Matthew chapter 5. We're turning again to the fourth beatitude. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you recall how last Sabbath day we considered in these words a picture of the healthy Christian hungering and thirsting. When anyone has a hunger and a thirst after natural food, well, you can say they're pretty healthy. Likewise to a Christian, if they hunger and thirst after righteousness, then they're healthy Christians. We know that regarding the healthy Christian, hungering thirst after righteousness is a healthy desire. It's an evidence of, first of all, spiritual life. It speaks to us of a spiritual love, a love for righteousness. Speaks to us of a spiritual longing. Anyone who's hungry and they're thirsty, they're longing for food and they long for water. And when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, there's a spiritual longing, a longing for those things pertaining to righteousness. So there is a healthy desire and there's a healthy delight. The healthy Christian delights him or herself in spiritual things, in that which goes under the heading of righteousness. That's our delight. We don't delight in the things of the world. We delight in the things of God. Then we considered, along with a healthy desire and a healthy delight, a healthy determination. For the Lord Jesus did say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Anyone who's naturally hungry and naturally thirsty, they're determined to get food and determined to get that which will slack their thirst. Likewise, the healthy Christian will be determined to get that which is righteous, will bless their soul and make them more like Christ. That's what we looked at last week. We want to continue with this beatitude. Want to look at the holy Christian. Last week we looked at the healthy Christian. Tonight I want to look at the holy Christian. We want to put a title to the message tonight, as we mentioned this morning, In Pursuit of Holiness. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That means that individual will be in pursuit of holiness. There cannot be any doubt that the individual who will hunger and thirst after righteousness will be a holy person. Just as there is a desire for spiritual food and drink, that means there's a spiritual desire for holiness of life. As I said this morning, holiness is a subject not often dealt with. But the Word of God has a lot to say about holiness. And God expects us to be holy. His command. Be ye holy even as I am holy. Be ye holy. That's what God says. So the believer who strives after holiness, who's in the pursuit of holiness, will first of all, will be particular. They'll be very particular. That is, some in the natural realm are very particular about what they eat and drink. Some things they will not eat because maybe what they eat will make them sick. And so they decline from eating that particular thing. They want to remain healthy. They don't want to fall sick. And so they're particular about what they eat. So how we live as Christians, if we want to be holy believers, if we want to continue in the pursuit of holiness, then we need to be particular also. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord tells us we need to be particular. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That has to do, first of all, with our diet. Don't we hear a lot about diets these days? Well, the Christian has a diet. We're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's our diet. That's our spiritual diet. And if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that will produce holiness of life. That's what it will produce. Unfortunately, some in the church at Corinth were not very particular at all about their spiritual diet. And indeed, we're told what it produced. You turn to 1 Corinthians 3. We're familiar with these words as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3, in the opening three verses. And I, brethren, and notice who he's talking to. He's addressing them as brethren, so they're Christians. He's talking to believers. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I cannot address you as spiritual believers. What an indictment that was. I cannot address you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, fleshly, worldly. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. As if you're just starting out. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk, the milk of the word, and not with meat. He wasn't able to give them the strong meat of the word. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. After years, they had made no spiritual progress. That's what Paul's saying. Remember what Peter said, as newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the word. Paul says, I have fed you with milk. He's given them the milk of the word. He hasn't been able to give them the meat of the word to get into strong doctrine. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. There'd be no spiritual progress. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, fleshly, in your ways. You're carnal after I first ministered to you. You're still carnal. You're not spiritual. There's no sign of holiness in your life. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? As the man of the world. That's what Paul's saying. He doesn't say you walk as men of God. No. He just says you walk as men. If you have a Bible margin, you'll notice that phrase, and walk as men. Those words may be rendered according to men. Ye walk according to man, not according to God, not according to Christ. That's your walk. You've made no spiritual progress. We're told what their diet was. Envying, strife, divisions, and carnality. That was their diet. And we see what it produced. Instead of behaving like spiritual and holy men, they behaved like men of the world. Talk about worldly Christians. It'll be seen in their walk. And as we've noted here, they walked according to man, not according to God. And what did it produce? It produced carnality. Romans chapter 5. Romans 15 and verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. How did they walk? They walk according to man, to the fleshly man, to the carnal man, to the worldly man. That's how they walked. And we're not adding anything to this word of Paul's. That's what it says. That's what those words mean. Now Paul again says, speaking to the Roman believers, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. Those in Corinth were not like-minded. There were divisions amongst them, envying, backbiting. Be like-minded, Paul says, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Again, if you have a Bible margin, see what it says. According to Christ Jesus, those words mean after the example of Christ. You should live after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's expected of the Christian. If you follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll live a holy life. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, that will produce holiness. It'll produce a Christ-likeness. Remember we said there a few minutes ago that in the natural diet of the natural man, there are things that he or she will not eat because it'll make them sick. Well, we've looked at the diet of the Corinthians. How did it affect them? Well, 1 Corinthians 11, we're told, same people, same church. The people that Paul said, I cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. We noted what their diet was. They had not made any spiritual progress. Now look at what Paul says. In verse 30, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. For this cause, Paul had to deal with quite a few matters that grieved him in the church at Corinth. One of them was the Lord's table and how they had treated the Lord's table. They made the Lord's table as a feast. Paul told, eat at home. If you're hungry, eat at home. That's not what the Lord's table is about. The Lord's table is to remember the Lord's death. It's a very solemn occasion. But Paul says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly. There you are. The natural man will not eat certain things because it will make them sick. He has to watch his diet. The spiritual man must be particular with his or her diet. Must hunger and thirst after righteousness. But the Corinthians, they were not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They had made no spiritual progress. And what was the result of their diet? Paul says, for this cause many are weak and sickly. He wasn't talking about their physical condition. He's talking about their spiritual condition. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What did he mean there? Sleep to the Christian is death. Or we should turn it the other way around. Death to the Christian is asleep. Remember Stephen? When he was stoned to death, we're told he fell asleep in Christ. And when Paul spoke about these Corinthians and addressed them as not being spiritual but as carnal, and then as you go on through the letter to the chapter 11, he says, many of you are weak and sickly and many sleep. Do you know what that means? That means the Lord took them out of the way. Because of the life they lived. They'd really been bringing dishonor to the Lord's name. And they're bickering and they're fighting in the church. And the way they treated the Lord's table. And the sin that they permitted and allowed to be in the church and didn't deal with it. You're weak and sickly. And Paul says, many of you fell asleep. The Lord took them out of the way. That's very solemn. So as well as the diet, hunger and thirst after righteousness, there is also the discernment. That is, when the Savior said, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, we need to be very discerning. We must discern what it is that the Lord is saying. Righteousness, what does that mean? We need to be very discerning with regard to righteousness and holiness in the life of the Christian. Because seeking that which is righteous, hungering and thirsting after that which is righteous, will produce holiness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now. Paul's dealing with what they were before, what they did before. Paul now says, even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness. Mark the words. Servants to righteousness unto holiness. See? Yield yourselves, members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. That's what the Lord is saying. they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What will that lead to? It lead to holiness. That's what Paul said. So what should we avoid then? We need to be discerning. The Lord says, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness will be led to a life of holiness. So what do we avoid then? If there are things in the natural world that we need to avoid, so it is in the spiritual realm. Things we need to avoid if we want to live holy lives. We could give a whole list, but just give a few examples. We need to avoid unholy words. Ephesians 4. And Paul speaks about that very matter. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy, Holy, Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, unholy words. There you have it in that verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Strange, isn't it? How God's people can fall out, have a dispute, and they say in their hearts, I'm not going to speak to him anymore. I'm not going to speak to her anymore. Remember what Paul said? We're to follow the example of Christ. I said before, when you get in and you focus in on the Lord Jesus and how he conducted himself day by day and how he dealt with people, brings me to realize how little I know about the Lord. You think of how the Pharisees treated the Lord Jesus. It didn't matter where the Lord was. It didn't matter where he was ministering. The Pharisees were there, like hounds hunting their prey all the time. They were always there. And yet, we read the Lord continued to speak to them. He continued to speak to them after all they said about him. There was no bitterness in the heart of Christ at all. None whatsoever. No bitterness at all in Christ. In all of his being. We're to follow his example. So we avoid unholy words. Something else we avoid. We avoid an unholy world. 1 John 2, verse 15. John says, love not the world. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But Paul, or John says, love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we're to avoid those things. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the, it's not of God, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. That's not our diet. That's not what the Christian hungers and thirsts after. No, sir. We're to hunger and thirst after righteousness, those things that are of God. So we avoid unholy words, an unholy world, an unholy worship. Again, Paul, in ministering to the Corinthians, in his second letter, spoke about worship and about unholy worship. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, we're familiar with these words, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Remember, we're hungering, thirsting after righteousness. Paul says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? In other words, none. Zero. There's no fellowship. The Christian that sits in a dead church with an unconverted man in the pulpit, there'll be no pursuit of holiness in that place. There'll be no hungering and thirsting after righteousness there. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. Not much food there, is there? Not much righteousness there, is there? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out! Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Unholy worship. Being in a dead church, where there's no preaching of the gospel, there's no preaching of Christ, and the man in the pulpit knows nothing of the Lord. The Lord says, Paul said, come out! We in the free church over the years have heard all the arguments. Why believers say, oh, we will stay in and try and change things from within. No, that doesn't work. The Lord said, come out. If Paul says, come out from among them, then that's what the believer is to do, because there's no fellowship there, and there'll be no pursuit of holiness there. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 29, we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I'll tell you something else. The Lord is not in such places. The Lord's not there. Because the Lord said, we've just read it there in 2 Corinthians 6, the Lord said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. That tells me the Lord's not in. He is out. And we're to go out unto him. Outside the camp. Bearing his reproach. The Lord is not in apostasy. He's out. And that's what he says. Come out. And I will receive you. The apostle. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we have considered how we are to be particular. That refers to our diet, spiritually speaking, and to our discernment. We're to be particular. And then we're to consider, let us consider what this produces. That is, when we follow and hunger and thirst after righteousness, what will that produce in the Christian? When holiness is the product, holiness will be produced in the life of the Christian if that Christian hungers and thirsts after righteousness. A Christian cannot hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that hungering and thirsting after righteousness not show and be demonstrated in the Christian's walk, in the Christian's ways, or in the Christian's words. The person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, it will be seen in their life. The apostle said, 1 Peter 1 verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation means citizenship. We're citizens of heaven. That's how we're to live. We're to live as citizens of glory. And we know that nothing unclean will enter into the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. And purity of life will be produced by the Holy Spirit in those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Again, as Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 22, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. In the end, everlasting life. I'll read those words again. But now, being made free from sin, you've been born again. Christ has saved you and washed you from all your sin. You've made free from sin and become servants to God. ye have your fruit unto holiness. We mentioned this morning, the Lord is the true vine. We're the branches. The branches are to bear fruit. And the fruit we are to bear is holiness. Apostle speaks of the fruit unto holiness. That's the fruit the Lord wants us to produce in our lives. And we may do so when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And again, Paul spoke about what is produced in the life of the believer. Ephesians 4 and verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice the order. Which is created in righteousness and true holiness. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that will produce true holiness. And that's what the Lord has exhorted us to do. Blessed. It is a blessing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll live a blessed life. They will be blessed in their souls. The Lord will bless them. Because he says, they shall be filled. So we have considered that to obey the Lord's words, we must be particular. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then we've noted what it produces. Holiness. And that leads us then to the purpose. We see from this beatitude the purpose of the Lord. We're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's God's purpose for us. It's God's will. It is the will of the Lord. In Ephesians, in chapter 1, here is the purpose of the Lord for the Christian. Again, we see who Paul's speaking to. In the verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that, why has he chosen us? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let us remember, as we go through this life, we walk before him. That's how Abraham walked. He walked before God. He was aware of his walk before God. And here we have, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. there's God's purpose for us. Yes, Paul there, in those opening verses of his epistle to the Ephesians, say, we're to serve God, we're servants to God. But he's chosen us before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Christ that we should be holy. There's God's purpose. Again, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's what he's called us unto. That is the purpose of God, and it is made very clear. I'll tell you something else. We have seen these verses, the words of Paul, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Paul says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. But you know something? The Lord Jesus prays for us that we live a holy life. That is the Lord. The Lord Jesus himself prays that we will live a holy life. How do I know? I've only to look at his great high priestly prayer, as it's called, in John chapter 17. And in John 17 and verse 17, the Lord's prayer was to his Father, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify. The word sanctify means to be set apart for holy use. It has a double meaning. To be set apart for holy use, or to be made holy. That's what the Lord was praying for when he prays for you and I. The Lord was saying to his heavenly Father, Lord, make them holy. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Therefore he tells us, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That leads to holiness of life. And since the Lord prayed, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Does not tell us something else. How much we need to have the word. How much we need to hear the word. How much we need to study the word. How much we need to read the word. We need to be in a place where the word is open and the word is preached. For the Lord says, sanctify them, make them holy through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wonderful to know that the Lord is praying for us. And praying that we live a holy life. That we'll be made holy. The importance of the word. In relation to holiness of life, we have just seen that. And then the psalmist said, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Someone has said, the word keeps us from sin, but sin will keep us from the word. And Paul emphasizes the importance of the Word. There in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. Speaking to Timothy, of course. The Lord says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Well, we need to be reproved at times. We need the Lord to correct us at times. And what is the end product? Verse 17, "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That's what it produces. The healthy Christian, the holy Christian, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." There's the happy Christian. The Lord says they shall be filled. Twice over in this beatitude, we have the word "they." Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word "they" is in the original, it's emphatic. In other words, when the Lord said, "Blessed are they," it'll be "they" only. And when the Lord said, "They shall be filled," he meant only "they," nobody else. It's emphatic. They shall be filled. So those Christians who do not hunger and thirst after righteousness will never know the blessing of spiritual fullness. That's what the Lord's saying. We see, first of all, very quickly, first of all, the source. The Greek word translated "filled" shows that God Himself is the source of all spiritual blessing. And the filling comes from God. "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The filling comes from God. That's what the word means. An example of this is on over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. The feeding of the 5,000. We're all familiar with that miracle. And Matthew 14 and verse 20, "And they did all eat and were filled." It's the same word. "They did all eat and were filled." It's the same word we have in Matthew 5 and verse 6. "They shall be filled." It's the same word. And who filled the multitude? Christ did. Christ filled 5,000. And it says, "They did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." The Lord filled them. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord will fill us. He's the source. The psalmist has said, Psalm 107, verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Again, the psalmist Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. Well, we need to hunger and thirst every day. We all get fed every day. And so it is with the spiritual man. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness every day. And we're told, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, day by day. And again, Jeremiah 31, verse 14, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. There's the source. Then you have the size. Filleth. Just like those who made up the 5,000 men, women, and children, the Lord filled every one of them. Do you know something? Not one of them went away hungry. Not one of them went home without being filled. That tells me that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness and seek after the Lord will fill us. He's no disappointment. We can be sure that we will be filled. Luke 6, verse 38. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, give, and it shall be given unto you. How does the Lord give? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet it withal, it shall be measured to you again. Remember a fellow saying, we give to the Lord, you know, we just shovel out to the Lord, and the Lord shovels it back to us. The only difference is the Lord has a bigger shovel. And that's true. There it is in Luke 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. What? Good measure. Pressed out, shaken together, and running over. My cup, what? Runneth over. That's how the Lord gives. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It's like filling a bag of corn. You fill it up, and then you shake it, you get a bit more in. You shake it again until it's running over. That's how the Lord deals with us. And so you have the source, the size, and the satisfaction. You shall be filled. Again, referring to the feeding of the 5,000, they went away satisfied. Why? Because they were filled. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord says, I will fill you. The word filled means satisfaction, means satisfied. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, for they shall be satisfied. Praise the Lord. The man of the world hungers and thirsts after sin and iniquity, and he's never satisfied. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we'll be satisfied. The Lord will satisfy us. He's the bread of life. He's the fountain of living water. Nobody told the woman at the well, you drink of this water that I shall give, you'll never thirst again. You'll be satisfied. In John 6, he talked about the bread of life. He said, I am the bread, I am the manna from heaven. Oh, the Israelites had to gather their bread every day. But I'm the bread of life. And you partake of me, and you'll be satisfied. And every man, woman, young person that knows the Lord can say, amen to that. For now none but Christ can satisfy. another name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled, and they'll live holy lives. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O our dear Lord, we thank thee for the instruction of thy word. And sure, Lord, we need instruction. That's what Paul told Timothy. The word is profitable. It's profitable for instruction. O Lord, may we take the instruction of thy word to heart. May we be that blessed people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, knowing that we shall be filled. Lord, be with us now, this night, throughout this week. Bless Aaron and Ryan, Calvin and Rachel as they go. A few days break at the end of the week. Keep thy hand upon them and keep them safe in all their travels. Be with us now, Lord, throughout this week. May we meditate upon the things we have heard today. We will be blessed. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.